Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
There's also a new edition called Suitopoly.
That's the new Monopoly version that takes a long time.
Instead of Boardwalk, it's the Phillies. Instead of Park Place, it's the Steelers, right? Accuture Stadium. Instead of having a thimble or a cannon, one of them is Chase Utley. And also the entire section of Atlantic, Ventnor, and Marvin Gardens is all the Fourth Ward. All right, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department to back it all up. There's also frequent trips to Myrtle Beach on the board. I ain't said a chance. It's another trip to Myrtle Beach.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
I mean, it's 365 days in the year, 52 weeks. I think it takes like 20 trips down there, right?
I've lost count by now. I don't know.
I mean, I've talked to the overworked sales staff. They seem to know the exact number. All right, so for the Phillies, here's the issue. All right? For those who are saying, hey, it's great, they were 1-1 with the Braves going back to Philadelphia, right? Remember, they were 1-1 going back to Philadelphia, and I believe Aaron Nola was on the mound in Game 3, correct?
Yes.
Okay? That's not the case this time. It's 1-1 going back to Philadelphia, and the losing pitcher in the last game was Aaron Nola. So you don't have one of your aces in the hole as you go back 1-1, which makes it a little bit more of a fight. And I'll tell you, Joe Musgrove is a very, very tough customer. But how did we get there? Well, the Phillies are in control of this game, 4-0 with Nola on the mound. They're feeling great, and then this happened.
And the 1-0 pitch hammered towards the left field corner. That one is up, and it is gone! A home run! Brandon Drury with his second hit of the postseason. A laser down the left field line. Just got it over that little fence in the left field corner. And the Padres are on the board. 4-1 Phillies in the second. Now Josh Bell, switch hitter, batting left-handed. Nola's first pitch, hit in the air, deep down the right field line. Headed towards the pole. This one is gonna go! A home run for Josh Bell. And on back-to-back pitches, the Padres hit back-to-back homers, and it's a 4-2 game in the second.
And this is not the greatest home run-friendly park in the world either. And then later Manny Machado homered. So, again, you're 4-0. You got the guy out there. If you handpicked, you'd either pick Wheeler or Nola to be up 4-0 on the road in a playoff game. And you're like, oh. Yeah, obviously, Wheeler was great in game one. And Nola was pitching pretty well. And then, boom, that happens. So now you're 1-1 going home, but it's not Nola pitching. It is, okay? So it's a little more of a wild card in game three tomorrow. All right. Been a lot of talk about expansion. You know, the Big Ten's going to bring in USC, UCLA. The SEC's bringing in Texas, Oklahoma. So let's get a read from somebody who had a sit-down last week with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren in Minneapolis and Big Ten Basketball Media Days. That is one of the best in the business, the outstanding writer, Scott Docterman from The Athletic. Scott, great to have you back.
I've been great, guys. How are you this week?
Doing really well. You sat down with Commissioner Kevin Warren in Minneapolis, we all know how he had appeared to be gung-ho, pushing about, hey, you know, we're sort of open for business here on expansion. My impression was, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, he seemed exponentially more measured in Minneapolis. How did you view him?
Absolutely. That was the case. I think there was a heavy flirtation that he had with some of the Pac-12 schools in particular, but I think that the measurement comes from the campuses themselves within the Big Ten. I think there's a lot of excitement from most of the universities about adding USC and UCLA. I think there's some interest in adding some of the other schools, but not to the point of diminishing the overall revenue that these schools will generate to pick up even an Oregon or a Washington or a Cal or a Stanford. And so what I've gathered from some of the universities is they would rather stand pat for now, see how this works with UCLA and USC, then decide whether or not to expand further. Whereas I think Kevin Warren a few months ago was intent on potentially adding more schools and now realizes that the schools aren't necessarily going to vote with him. And that's something that rarely happens in the Big Ten, which is, you know, some sort of a debate and one that doesn't end up being unanimous. So I think right now he is much more measured. He wants to, you know, bring in the two new schools collectively and then take care of the ones that are currently in the Big Ten and then see where things are going to go after that.
So, and let me take this maybe in a slightly different direction, because I don't recall seeing any articles written about how USC and UCLA feel about adding people out west. And have you had any read from them if they would like to see somebody out west join them, or do they like being the only show in town?
That's a great question, and I haven't got any kind of answer from there, and neither have anybody else that has really covered that part of the world. And you kind of wonder, do they want to be the singularly Big Ten franchises on the West Coast, or do they want to have those types of travel partners? That's pure speculation on our part that we think that they were going to want to do that. I would anticipate in pretty much every other sport but football, it's going to be essential for them to be able to have that flexibility to play in Arizona or Northern California, or even some of the other schools in that part of the world, in baseball, softball, basketball, whatever. But I don't know that they can imagine that they're going to have to play in football. So that's really the most interesting part of it. And so what they're trying to do, and next month is when they're going to start meeting with these officials from USC and UCLA to decide what's next and how they bring them in. And I think that's when you'll start to see some opinions being formed and probably discussed as far as whether this is the only area for the Big Ten right now, or if this is just kind of a pause, and then, you know, they'll push play again in 2 years, 4 years, or down the road towards the end of this contract.
Is one of the keys to any kind of thought process early, let's say early, is the choice, how the Pac-10 works out its TV deal? Because any TV deal they might work out would include a grant of rights.
Yeah, that's going to be part of it. And I think both the Big Ten and the SEC to an extent, but certainly for the Big Ten, it's, you know, you don't want to disrupt that. And you don't, but you also have to put the ball in those schools' courts. And if you're Oregon or Washington and you think that you have a chance to join the Big Ten, maybe not in 2 years, but, you know, by the end of the decade,
yes,
then I think you need to really focus on whether or not you want to sign that. And maybe the other schools do as well, because, you know, or is it a 5-year agreement that they decide to go with ESPN and Fox or whomever? And that way it's done by the time the Big Ten is ready to consider adding. I think those are, it's really in the Pac-12's purview and the school's purview in that part of the world to decide what they want to do, because I think the Big Ten is open for business. I think it's just about a matter of how much revenue each of those schools can bring in to ensure that nobody else loses money because they're coming into the league.
Because I know, I think you've seen the story, and it may have been either John Cannizzaro or John Wilner. Each have done a great job of covering, like you have as well. It sounded like when they were talking with ESPN and Fox, they were discussing a 5-year deal. And I thought that was interesting to me, because then it does deal with timing by the end of the decade.
Yeah, that is the most fascinating part, and that's kind of the years that I've been hearing too, and I think that really what it sets up is kind of this scenario where if they reach that five-year period and Big Ten still has two more years left on its deal, or depending on when it starts for the Pac-12, that it enables everybody to kind of examine their future. Maybe the Pac-12 decides, you know what, this isn't that bad. We're making good money through Fox or through ESPN, and then they don't have to worry about, you know, bolting. Or maybe at that point the Big Ten will be more receptive to adding some of the AAU institutions in the Pac-10, I think we'll probably call it in the future again.
Right.
So I think that's probably where things will lie, which means that we're hitting a pause, which probably isn't the worst thing in the world, because the scenarios that we were looking at during the summer, which is, you know, a Big 20 instead of a Big 16, was something that was difficult to get your head wrapped around.
What role does the money from the college football playoff play in all of this in terms of the thought process of any kind of expansion or an elimination of a conference?
You know, that's really an interesting point, because the fact that they agreed to the 6-6 model,
yes,
which enables six conferences to all participate, I think it kind of eliminates the need to, you know, because everybody now has access to the tournament, you know, the 12-team tournament when it comes about, whether it's in 24, 25, or 26. And so if you're in the Big 12 or if you're in the Pac-10, and you have that same opportunity, so the revenue from that won't be really, you know, won't be hurting you. Now, with the Big Ten, your goals are to probably try to get three teams in every year, your champion, and then maybe your best two runners up. You know, and if you take some of the best assets that are available, maybe you stretch that a little bit to four. But I think the money will be there for everybody. And then the access is there. So I don't think that's going to be the lead component in whether or not a Washington and Oregon to make the push to join the Big Ten.
Because I think then at that point it can make up some ground if that's a possibility. Because by 26, in all likelihood, multiple networks will be carrying the college football playoff, not just one.
That's my assumption, yes. I think the Big Ten is focused on helping its partners, which does not include ESPN, and I think that's been a major factor in why this has drug on a little bit longer, you know, because the Big Ten is, you know, partners with Fox, has been for a long time with BTN, and now with its main college football package. So it wants to ensure that Fox is taken care of, and this is such a big product. I mean, I'd say outside of the NFL playoffs, I don't know that you're going to find anything bigger than this and more have that kind of interest. So I think you'll probably see it on multiple networks, maybe like the AFC and NFC playoffs are on multiple networks.
Does the USC-UCLA integration, which he made a point of, a direct point in his press conference, but made a point of to you and your one-on-one exclusive with him, how important is they get this right, because it's a multi-sport integration here before they even think about doing something else?
I think it's pivotal for everybody. And Kevin Warren has a different kind of vision, certainly, than Jim Delaney did. And Jim would have been much more cautious about this. Kevin has a different vision. But I think for everybody within the Big Ten, certainly those two schools, but the remaining 14 schools, that you want to integrate them in the best way possible, because I know there's been some rough periods, you know, and certainly Penn State felt that way, that it was integrated more as kind of jumping in and not paying attention to Penn State. And I think Jim Delaney really had mentioned that with Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland. And I think there's a desire to make sure they feel like they're a part of the league, and also that their concerns are addressed early, and likewise for the other teams. So one of the things that I know that they've discussed, and it's kind of at a 20,000 foot level, and it will get narrowed down, is you know, the subject of travel for these Olympic sports and for basketball, and it has to, because they don't do that now, but if you're Penn State, wouldn't it make more sense, maybe even men and women, to fly to one flight Los Angeles and play both teams over a weekend? you know, men's and women's, you know, just flip the locations. Like Friday night, it's USC and Penn State men, and it's UCLA, Penn State women, and then flip it. You know, save some money, save some time. And, of course, with USC and UCLA, why not fly to Detroit and play both Michigan and Michigan State
exactly.
that way?
In fact, you must have been listening to this show because I'm not going to pretend it's my idea, Scott, but I refer to it as block scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Take your men's and women's soccer teams, your cross-country team, your volleyball team, boom, one plane out to the coast, right?
Yeah.
One hotel. All of them play the two out there. Same thing when they come east. You know whose idea that was? Where I stole the idea from? Joe Paterno. Joe, when Joe was trying to form the Eastern All-Sports Conference, that was part of his idea to block. Now, he was talking about buses, okay, as opposed to planes. But he was talking about, hey, look, you know, bus everybody to Rutgers, play a weekend there, boom. You know, and that's where I first heard the idea 40 years ago.
It makes perfect sense because even on these trips, and we've all been on them, there's a lot of food waste. There's a lot of waste as far as just all
the Shabazz Napier says that's not true. No,
well, it probably wasn't for the old Big East or the AAC, but it certainly is for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know, where you see every, you know, pizzas lying around after a basketball game and stuff. So you can really save some money that way and time and athletes' time. I mean, they make such a big deal about student athlete welfare. Well, this is one area where they can make some headway. And then, of course, for USC and UCLA, it has to be the same way. I mean, fly to Indy, play Purdue in Indiana.
Yes.
You know, fly to Detroit, play Michigan and Penn State. Fly somewhere east and play Rutgers and Maryland at the same weekend. So that way you just don't have it. And then, but it also opens up some really cool possibilities, say, for baseball and softball. Instead of having these teams take a week-long trip down to Florida, have them all go out to California.
Yes.
Maybe see if you can get Dodger Stadium open for a week and have a Big Ten series. That would be really cool.
That would be great. And if softball's a part of the 28 Olympics, there'd probably be an Olympic softball park to play in at that point down the road, right? I mean, to do a tournament like that. Very quickly, I know you've got you did a great article on Ohio State, Iowa. How badly does each team need this kind of game this weekend?
Well, I think Ohio State, it's probably a good testing ground for Ohio State. They're playing against a defense, a good defense, that really tries to limit big plays. So it's going to be good work for them to try to find new ways to advance the ball that not necessarily relies on the big play. And for them, it's probably crossing routes and running the ball against, sometimes a six-man box.
Mm-hmm.
For Iowa, it's going to be, fun to see one of the best teams in the country. The problem is that Iowa's offense doesn't measure up at all, and and that's the problem. That it's really unfortunate for the defense, because no matter what scenario you see with the defense kind of holding down Ohio State, the offense can't make up the difference. So I see it as probably about a 4-touchdown game just because of that.
So you're saying Ohio State's defense is better than South Dakota State's?
Huh. Just a little bit. Okay. I think we'll find that out when they're all playing for the Steelers and Cowboys.
Thought I'd just give a measuring stick. Scott, it is always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much. Look forward to talking again shortly down the road.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And have fun with the whiteout this week.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. I'm in the Athletic. Again, we try to get as many guests on that when they're done, the audience is richer with knowledge about a situation. Scott, certainly, I think, is one of them, like Mike DeCourcy was earlier in the week on this topic. All right, Reginald Walker, next half hour. Several texts from the suit, but they all are from out of town. Evidently, he's going through with that timeshare in San Quentin.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found up.
Do you want to explain it to him, or should I?
I'll leave it to you. You started the conversation. I'll let you just finish.
Maybe I'll let Roger explain it to him. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult...
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections? Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Called the Star Registry. I guess he now has a galaxy named after him, and the gift package is gigantic. It's personalized.
Nothing shocks me anymore.
When it comes to him, unbelievable. I said, why don't you have one of the stars named after Aaron Judge?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Still confused after listening to your son talk why you wanted him on the show.
I was just trying to get a different perspective, that's all.
How about on the mark? That would be good for the training wheels.
Absolutely not. No offense to on the mark, of course.
So Luke, what do you think about the November races? All rise!
All rise!
This isn't going as well as we hoped. I mean, that's it? That's all you got?
At least he'd keep it even.
True. I mean, he didn't commit either way to what's going on here. The heck? And what are the other words he can say now?
I mean, he can pretty...
Besides Mark Stop.
Actually, yes. In baseball terms, hit home runs, Aaron Judge, and Yanks, in terms of baseball stuff. But he is talking very well for his age, but in terms of baseball, there you go.
I'm not surprised. That's good. That's wonderful.
He's starting to hit the bat pretty good, too, off the tee, let me tell you.
Okay. Just kind of tap the brakes on that, okay? Okay. He's two, so he's not exactly your ticket to retirement here. Okay.
I know we got ways to go, but we're off to a good start. I think we're building a good foundation.
Now, 15 years from now, okay, if it's still going all right, yeah. So I'm just telling you, don't give up your day job.
Oh my almighty!
Yeah. Even though I know it sounds like I've been encouraging the suit to give up his day job, that's actually been more for the betterment of everybody in the company. All right, so...
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Reginald Walker. Was with us in New York last week and Charlotte this week. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
Doing well. So we talked to you last week. Just one quick follow-up on that. After going through all of that last week and talking about the future of media, it was a great presentation there as well about Prime Video and their interest of getting into college sports. What were your takeaways?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me to remember is that essentially outside from, obviously, Amazon is in the mix with Thursday Night Football. Apple's in the mix with Major League Baseball. But the streaming services have a lot of money to play with.
Yeah.
And the question is, How big is that number going to get? But the more importantly, what does that buy them?
Yeah.
Because the battle is, right, you know this, the battle is who gets first pick on Sunday morning after Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the big money goes.
Yeah.
Or comes from, I should say. And so I'm curious to see if anybody is willing, right, any conference, if you will, at this level, is willing to take the risk of, and I mean this respectfully to the streaming services, knowing that there's a capped audience.
Right.
To me, as opposed to going to the broadcast or cable route.
See, this will be the issue in the short term. When I mean short term, I'm talking about the next 4 or 5 years. Am I sacrificing viewership for money?
Right.
And in the end, does that help me grow my viewership? And I think that's the mystery. That's why what the NFL's done with Thursday Night Football is brilliant. Because they're not sacrificing it because they've got an entire weekend where everybody can see it.
And they've got, and even on Thursday nights with Amazon, they've got local markets that have access.
Right. And that's right. You can watch in your local station, and each market has it.
That's exactly right.
So tonight there'll be one in Phoenix, known to some people in the station as Pahonix, and one in New Orleans that will be carrying the game tonight over the air.
So. That's right.
All right. So you've lived through weeks where it didn't go well. I've mentioned that the worst thing any leader can do, right, of any organization, I don't care whether it's a media organization, a sheet metal fabrication place, or a football coach, you can't panic. I mean, you've gone through it, so you've seen how it plays out. Panic's the worst thing that can happen.
This is why I love Steve Jones, because you're in my brain. And here's why I say that. Last year, Charlotte goes on a four-game losing streak or whatever it was. And I asked Will Healy, and in my opinion, the answer is nothing, right? But I said, you're struggling to win right now. You got 18 and 22-year-old kids looking to you for answers. Are you going to change anything? And he said, no, even if I wanted to, I can't. Because then they're going to wonder if the process before was one that could prove successful anyway.
Right.
Same thing. I asked him the same thing literally. Today is Thursday. I asked him the same thing on Tuesday of this week. Coach, you're 1-6. What are you changing? And he goes, nothing. Because if I change it, then it looks like the original plan was not one that we thought was going to work anyway. Same thing. Okay, you're 5-0. Yes, you go to Michigan, you go to the Big House, and you get, I'll say it, you get punched in the face. I mean, they just got punched in the mouth. And anybody can say all these different things, and I see the things online about the quarterback. You give up 433 yards rushing, that ain't the quarterback. It's not. Yeah. 420 yards. It's not the quarterback. Okay, so everybody that's screaming Clifford's the Sean Clifford, and I don't mean to take a shot at or pile on the defensive players. Sean Clifford did not give up 400 yards rushing.
Yeah,
he didn't. So stop piling on that kid. Okay, this is a football team that you look at the schedule and who they played, and there were some people that had some questions about the schedule of who Penn State had beaten before they went to Ann Arbor, right? There was also a notion, and we talked about this last week, how are they going to handle defending the run against a Michigan team that wants to run the football? And this is why I've always said, I don't have a problem with different offenses and what coaches want to do. But you've got to have an element of, we can line up whenever we want and beat you at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
And because it hasn't always won games for him at Michigan, people in Ann Arbor didn't like Jim Harbaugh at times. But at the end of the day, as he once told the story that he was always asked by his college coaches and everything, are you going to have a fullback and are you going to have a tight end?
Yeah.
And his answer is yes. And that means, are you going to run downhill and go get tough yards when you want to and mm-hmm. be more physical than the other team, or at least attempt to be? and they're willing to do that. I'm not suggesting other teams are not, but I'll say it simply. 111 yards rushing on 22 carries. Not bad, right?
Yep.
The other team had – Michigan ran the ball 55 times for 400 yards.
Yeah.
That is saying we think we are more physical than you, and we are going to prove it. I'm not calling our guys at Penn State soft, but what I am saying is against Michigan, they didn't answer the bell.
Yeah. The it's interesting in that regard. Sometimes you'll get in a game where guys play hard. And James, you know, James said, look, guys played hard. So first thing he's looking at on the tape, hey, look, did they play hard? And they did. Sometimes guys either don't have a great matchup or they're having a tough day. And somebody else who's actually playing decently tries to make up for it, so they're trying to do more than what their job is. Reginald, you and I know that compounds the problem, actually.
Yeah, because oftentimes, right, if you're – let's just say you're a linebacker and you're trying to be Superman, and then all of a sudden you overrun one.
Yeah.
And it's a cutback for – like, I know everybody in Penn State lore remembers, right, the Kajana Carter touchdown run against Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Chances are there's an Oregon linebacker, and I'm not staring at the tape right now to break this thing down.
Sure.
But chances are there's an Oregon linebacker that's saying, I over-pursued by a half a gap, and that's what allowed him to break that. That those kinds of things happen. And one of the things I say a lot on broadcast, right, is when a team is struggling, whether it's offensively, defensively, or whatever, sometimes you need one guy to make an individual play that's out of his mind just to get everybody to settle down and say, okay, we can win this game. Let's just play football. And I thought Curtis Jacobs' pick six was that for Penn State. Yep. We're going to calm down now. We can play football. Because it told me they were ready to sort of respond to the adversity of being down in that football game. They came back, took the lead. And then after that, it just sort of all went downhill. And you wonder at times, and I talk about this a lot, even if you're down, you know, 21-20 in a football game, you can't try to get that entire point back on every snap. You just have to play the snap.
Right.
And sometimes guys get so focused on what's on the scoreboard, and you've got to – and I see this a lot in football, and I get frustrated when I see it. A team is down a touchdown in the third quarter, and the other team has the ball, and a guy comes up, makes a hit, and he's trying to strip the ball, and it's a third and six, and he makes the hit at the line of scrimmage. He's trying to strip the ball, and he gets carried for a first down. And next thing you know, that team goes down and scores, and they're up 14, and they never look back.
Right.
The smart play there is just make the tackle. You're getting ready to get the ball back anyway because it's third and six, and you're getting ready to make the tackle at 2 yards.
Yep.
Take the plus – take the giving away two yards to get the football back. But some guys – sometimes guys get so focused on trying to make a spectacular play – that they cost themselves more than they help themselves.
It's like trying to hit the five-run homer. No.
Yes.
Okay, there is no five-run homer. Just make the play.
That's right.
The key sequence in the game to me was Penn State, they're down 16-14 at the break. They get the ball to start the second half. So you get the ball with a chance to take the lead. So they put together a drive, stalls, kick a field goal, take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you need a three and out.
Yep.
And they finally get Michigan off schedule, and this is where McCarthy makes a really nice play, where Penn State, for one of the few times in the game, gets to play its sub-package. I mean, they were in the sub-package six times the whole game. That was
the whole game.
Six.
Yep.
Six. So now
I had it at five, so you caught another one that I didn't see.
All right. So now I'm looking out there, right? You know, of course, we have the wide view. Everybody is covered. I mean, no way, right? And McCarthy breaks contain, gets the first down. Next play, Edwards goes for a touchdown. Now, okay, so that happens. Now Penn State drives again. And now they have a chance to tie the game. This is after they got a two-point conversion. Has a chance to tie the game. They get a first down pass play to Singleton, but because an offensive pass interference is called where Warren comes down, boom, blocks Colson, but Singleton's over the line of scrimmage, so it's called, all right? You end up with a 15-yard penalty. Boma turns around. You can't get the first down. Corum goes 61 yards. To me, that's the whole sequence of the game right there. I mean, where you had a, you had the chance and then derailed yourself.
Yeah, and it's interesting you talk about that, because the other thing I noticed in that, that sequence around that time frame was, and this is where I think we obviously there was the Sean Clifford long run in there right before the timeout that led to the fourth down and the whole thing there.
That's right, yeah.
Other than that, they had kind of struggled to run the football, and I wondered if they were starting to bail on running the football.
Yeah.
And that made me a little bit nervous. And so when that happens, because, you know, you get into that, like even the a couple of plays, was it a first and 10 or first? There was a couple first downs that they threw the ball.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was starting to wonder, like, are they kind of, I don't want to say giving up on the run, but are they, were these tendency breakers or was it becoming a habit?
I think it was a tendency breaker.
And if that's what it was, I was 1,000% on board with that. I was hoping that wasn't becoming the latter.
Yeah, that was a tendency breaker.
Yeah, but other than that, I think you're spot on. Not only was that the sequence that really hurt them, I think more than anything, it was because they were two explosive plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. Blake Corum, 61, and Edwards was, what, 65 yards?
67, right. Say back-to-back runs, literally. And these are back-to-back runs.
Those are
of 128 yards.
Right. You see explosive plays like that as a defensive player. Yeah, you're probably thinking maybe one guy maybe is out of his gap or maybe missed a tackle, whatever. But they can just break you because you're going, man, we can't catch this guy from behind. We can't tackle at the line. Whatever the case may be, that's what makes that sequence so difficult. Is it'd be one thing if those were two like 8-minute drives and then you're like, well, they just outfit, whatever. But two explosives back to back in less than 3 minutes, that'll snap you in half.
Yeah, it will. One final one, because, you know, I know I gotta let you go, but just what can a whiteout crowd mean emotionally for the players after everything?
I think it's about confidence, right? I think it's about a lift. I think it's about a defense that you know, can use that crowd noise to impact communication. We don't know what's going to go on with Tanner Morgan. He was carted off the field last week for Minnesota. So if you get the young quarterback in there, I can't even pronounce his last name, Anthony something.
Ethan Calicmanis.
There you go. There you go.
It's part of the profession.
If he's in there, you know, that could impact them, obviously, because that crowd noise can be difficult for young players. Tanner Morgan's a veteran. He's used to it. He can play through it. But I think the crowd's got to let this team feel comfortable. I think the crowd can do so much. The atmosphere itself can do so much for this football team. And I think running the football, if they can get back to running the football, I think it gives the offensive line confidence as well.
My friend, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, sir.
Anytime, and I look forward to I'll actually be able to watch this one.
Oh, good.
On Saturday night all the way through and not have to watch it back because my game will be over.
Perfect. Even better. Thanks, Reginald.
Take care, Steve. Appreciate you.
Reginald Walker joining us from Charlotte. You and I have to have a talk about the guests. I mean, I like, you know, like Reginald Gray, Dr. McGray, the high school thing. I just don't quite get the promotion of your kid.
All right.
Well, no, and then you presented Mark as an alternative, and I'm telling you, we're going nowhere there.
At least Mark will bring the balls because he likes playing with soccer balls and baseballs and basketballs. So he at least brings that element to it. And he actually can hit a little too, believe it or not.
Yeah, but this is a talk show. We can't see that. It's a radio show.
Mark can talk a little bit. Actually, he can. You'll know his presence with his screeching. It might kill our eardrums, but at least he'll make his presence known.
Yeah, but we've got Touchdown Shikalimi on Friday night. It's the same thing. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SUIT, that spells SUTA.
Tomorrow, Chris Mack and from Pittsburgh and Ryan Snyder on the recruiting weekend of the Whiteout.
He'll be giving you some key names and also the volume that'll be in Beaver Stadium Saturday night on the recruiting side of everything. So Ryan Snyder and Chris Mack tomorrow along with the King. Matt's kids are out of it. Until little Mark learns to say touchdown Shikellamy.